welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Rower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day today. We actually have fairly decent weather down here in Florida, which is nice. It's starting to get cool, which is a big change. You know, it was a brisk 60 degrees this morning. Had to go get my coat out of the closet to walk outside to let the dogs out. I'm just kidding. But the weather is getting a little bit cooler down here, which is nice for a change. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Doing absolutely wonderful today, Austin. I have good news for all of the listeners as far as those who listen to us on a daily basis. I was able to renew my driver's license. I got there at 8:30 this morning, and I thought I would beat the massive migrants coming in with their vans, and sure enough, there's another big white van parked right in front in the handicap spot, unloading masses of people. When I got there at 8:30, the yet-to-be-open doors, the line was already 30 people deep, primarily with migrants. And I thought to myself, I took a picture of it this time. I thought, this is absolutely nuts that this is already starting at 8:30. This time, it was funny. This time, they didn't even ask me if I had my proper paperwork. They just gave me a card, didn't ask me to see the paperwork at the front desk. And I went inside and brought my vehicle registration. I have two different vehicle registrations, which is what they told me that I needed. They told me that I needed a passport. I said, okay. And I could sign off on my own Social Security things. I said, okay. So I got there. And they told me that the vehicle registrations didn't count. They didn't count. That I needed another form of ID that I lived in my address other than vehicle registrations. And I said, this is what it says on your own paper. And they said, well, we know. But you need another form. You can't just have one. You have to have more. And I'm like, I brought you multiple vehicle registrations. And they said, it doesn't matter. It's a state-issued registration. Therefore, we don't accept it. I said, kind of like my concealed weapons permit, kind of like my state license that you don't accept. I said, are you kidding me? Well, we'll let it go by this time, but you're going to have to sign under oath and then sign another affidavit that you actually live at this residence. And I'm like, I'm looking at this lady like, you know, I said, what do I have to do? Bring you my blood of my firstborn? I said, what is wrong with you people? I said, this is insanity. She goes, well, we're going to let it go this time, but you've got to sign the affidavit. In the meantime, when I made the blood of the firstborn comment, the lady next to her just started hysterically laughing. And I said, well, at least you have a sense of humor. I said, this is ridiculous. This is actually going on. And of course, the melancholy that I was working with, she couldn't even spell the name of my city properly. I mean, it's on my old driver's license. Couldn't spell it properly. It's unbelievably easy to spell. Spelled it wrong. She goes, check to make sure everything's right on this license. I said, well, no, you spelled the name of my city wrong. She goes, oh. And I said, this is just ridiculous. And I said, I can't even believe this is like, you know, you guys do this all day long and you can't spell the name of the city that is 5 miles from here that you don't even know that the city exists. I guess I don't know what's going on. So yeah, it was another example with my rep today, my girl helping me, of basically just government bureaucracy run amok and people being promoted in positions, primarily, I would think, because they're bilingual, because she had a real strong accent. You could tell that she was from another country. And I asked her, where are you from? And she goes, here. I said, no, where were you born? And she goes, here. And I thought, you know what? I'm just not going to say anything else here before I get myself run out. I'm just going to go ahead and get my license and kind of bail out the back door. And that's what I did. I kind of left. I said, you know, this is just absolutely awful that this is what we've sunken down to now as far as the United States. Guys, now listen to me. I've analyzed all of this. This is not part of what I needed to get my license today. That's not what this is. What they've done is, because you can sign off on all of this stuff yourself and under your own recognizance, so to speak, they've allowed all of this stuff to be used now by the illegal immigrants to come in and get a driver's license so they can get a voting card and a voting ID and vote in our elections. If you go to Mexico illegally across the border and you go down there and you try to get their government to give you money and stuff, they'll put you in prison, and it'll take an act of Congress literally to get out of a Mexico prison. I mean, are you kidding? No, that's what they're doing. Now they've had a massive surge across the border the last 2 or 3 months since Trump got the nomination, and they're in a situation where they're coming over faster than they've ever come over before because Obama has a completely porous border. This is what Cloward and Piven said to do. This is what they're doing. They're overwhelming us with the social welfare programs. And it's kind of crazy because you think, this can't be America. Guys, 67 million people don't even speak English in the United States now. And if you don't believe that, go to the doggone DMV down there and try to get your driver's license and take a look at what's coming across the border. These are not Mexico or Central America's or South America's elite. These are not the doctors and the lawyers and the attorneys and the pilots. Those guys are already successful in their own countries. These are people that couldn't make it in the system or in the country they were in simply because they didn't have enough incentive, enough cognitive ability, or whatever. Now they're coming here because we give them free stuff. Now, guys, I'm telling you, for you guys that are younger, okay, I'm 61 years old. Best birthday present ever. Trump won the election. I'm 61 years old. And I'm telling you, this is not our country. I don't know what this mess is that Obama said he was going to fundamentally transform the United States of America, and people believed him, and he did, and now they're like, they can't believe what's happened. But remember, this entire election cycle was hacked for Hillary Clinton with the Diebold machines. Look at Fractional Magic, the video on the election cycle and the machines. The only reason, and I mentioned this last week, and everything I'm telling you is coming out more and more and more now, the only reason that Donald Trump won is because we prayed to God Almighty, to Yahweh, to Yeshua, and we asked that the Clintons and this entire Democratic apparatus be exposed. And we have had it exposed. Today, somebody sent me another email with basically, it looks like Bill Clinton with a, how should I say this, massage therapist in a bedroom. It was another picture of him. And I think to myself, well, that's probably an accurate picture. I'm not going to really distribute it because I'm not sure if it's accurate. But then they did the whole thing on the Lido Express and what's going on. Apparently, this stuff's not going away because the New York City police have released the information to enough people that everybody is now finding out about it. And this is the information that was supposed to have been suppressed, as far as I believe, by allowing Hillary to lose the election when she was slated to win the election. So now all of these communists in the Clinton News Network, also known as CNN or the Communist News Network or the Constant Negative News Network, whatever you want to call it, are all having absolutely hissy fits because Hillary Clinton did not win the nomination, to the point now they're asking the folks from the Electoral College to change their votes to bring Donald Trump to his knees and to put Hillary in. Guys, this group of people are a bunch of crybabies. I mean, when Barack Obama won the election 4 years ago and he basically hacked it away from Romney, we all thought, oh, well, there's not a whole lot we can do about it, but we weren't crying and protesting and screaming and carrying on like the world had come to an abrupt end. We didn't do that. That's what these guys are doing. That's how their mantra, that's their leadership, that's their George Soros. And what they do, they pay these guys, these paid protesters, to come in, and then, of course, they bring all the local people in with the paid protesters just to try to protest. And I don't know what they're protesting yet, that they are in America, Austin, that they're getting free welfare, that they're getting free health care, that they're in the most prosperous nation on the planet, that we don't want to turn into a social fascist dictatorship. I don't know what they're protesting about yet. They're here. They got across the border. They should be happy. Stop burning your country's flag, or stop burning the U.S. flag and holding up your Mexican flag in these protests. You're not making a case for yourself that's very, very edifying or uplifting when you do stuff like that. What do you think, son?
Well, no, you're absolutely right. I saw a feed the other day on some online thing, and it was basically saying, it's funny how all the protesting videos and photos that we've seen have people holding up Mexican flags and other countries' flags while they're protesting our election. The stupidity knows no bounds with these individuals. It doesn't even make sense. It's like going down to Australia and protesting their election, or going to Germany and protesting their election, but marching around with a U.S. flag, pitching a fit like a little child. It doesn't even make sense. It really doesn't even make sense. So you kind of realize now that a lot of this stuff is paid protester. But back to what is going on, what you were referring to as far as the subsidies and the welfare, this is a big part that a lot of people don't understand, and you completely nailed it on the head perfectly. These individuals that are pouring through the border right now, literally tens of thousands at a time. I did the article a couple weeks ago with the interview of the Border Patrol agent who flat out went on the record with Breitbart and said they literally are having to release these guys and let them out in the streets because they have no more room in holding the immigration holding. And now the individuals coming through the border are actually trying to get caught and arrested by ICE and immigration authorities because they'll take them to holding and they'll hold them for either 30 to 60 days. Once they have another influx come in again, they literally cannot hold them anymore and they end up releasing them just out on the street, just literally out on the street. And there was a thing they did back up in Wisconsin back in 2012, and they looked at the numbers as far as what a single mother with two children getting full subsidies as far as college benefits, were food assistance, housing assistance, everything. And one person, one woman with four children, including the $5,000 in federal aid grant for college, received $41,292 a year. And I might add to you, that is after tax income. She's not paying any tax on that money at all. That's all government subsidized money with no taxes, no Social Security, nothing paid in that. At the 41,000 mark, you'd be roughly in what, the 15 or 20% as far as tax bracket. So you'd be looking at making the equivalent of roughly around $50,000 to $55,000 a year before taxes to bring home that kind of money. Guys, this is why we're attracting the lowest of the low from all these different countries, not even from South America, but all over the world. When you put a big, fat billboard out on the interstate and say, hey, come to our country, we'll give you $40,000 a year to literally do nothing, contribute nothing, work and do nothing, bring nothing to the table, substantially do nothing as a human being. You, and I'm not saying you're worthless, because everybody's life is worth something in the image of God. But as far as what you contribute to your country on paper, it's worthless what you do. This is what we have going on now, literally spending hundreds of billion dollars a year in all these different social programs now that are not working. We have almost 50 million people in the United States now that are on food stamp subsidies. Guys, that's a sixth of the population. That isn't sustainable. You can't run a country like that and have a sixth of the population that you're having to feed and clothe and pay for every aspect of their life. Nothing was ever designed to function like that in a functioning first world country. It doesn't work like that. So that's absolutely right. What we're seeing now is these guys pouring in, and they're doing everything they can to get driver's licenses, to get voting ID cards, anything they can to get into the system, because Trump has already blatantly come out and said this is not going to fly anymore, giving $40,000 a year to anybody that's not working simply because they don't want to work is not going to continue in this country. We can't physically do it. It's not possible. So I'm glad he brought that up, but it's interesting. He saw that at the DMV. I haven't gone to the DMV in a very, very long time.
I'm back, Austin. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's fine.
Once we start talking about this interesting stuff, we end up in a situation where we just, they like to hack us. So there you go. So, by the way, new transmissible vaccine spreads like a virus. No consent necessary. Brandon Turberville. As governments move forward in their attempts to force their citizens into mandatory vaccinations at gunpoint, whether they want to or not, researchers are now moving forward with what may become the future of forced vaccinations, transmissible vaccines. The idea behind these vaccines are that they would present themselves to be infectious, passing along the vaccine from one person to another as if it were a virus. Thus, it would be possible to vaccinate a small number of people manually, but as a result of the vaccine self-transmission, actually vaccinate a very high number of people, according to PNAS, proceeding of the National Academy of Sciences of the United States of America. Several recombinant transmissible vaccines, which are in development for wild animal populations, including one to protect wild rabbits against a fatal viral infection and another to prevent deer mice from carrying a virus responsible for a deadly human pulmonary disease. But transmissible vaccines pose a special risk. Essentially, they could become a virus themselves and spread rapidly amongst the population that was vaccinated. This has already happened with the oral polio vaccine in both the 1960s and the 2000s, but with a transmissible vaccine, the danger of spread of a disease would become even more dangerous, as the spread and transmission are what the vaccines are designed to do. Guys, this is insanity. They want people to get a vaccine. and basically give them like a cold or the flu from the vaccine, which will transmit the cold or the flu to the next person and vaccinate them, causing them to get sick, causing them to transmit it to the next person. What could possibly go wrong here? Are they joking me? I mean, are these people that stupid? I mean, it never ceases to amaze me the level of insanity that our government is capable of producing and the level of unbelievable toxic substances they're capable of introducing into the supply for the human genome. Guys, this is all about transhumanism and changing us and not having to go force door to door to vaccinate us with stuff. This is what they want to do to us. They want to change our DNA, and these viruses do exactly that when they're incorporated into the cell membrane. Guys, this is not good. This is not healthy. I don't even know what to say about this, Austin, because this is one of those things that somebody else around you got vaccinated, and you're just at the grocery store at the gas station. You wouldn't even know it, and they could end up infecting you like you had a cold. They could handle the doggone gas at the pump and get the virus on that gas handle or on the toilet seat or on the toilet handle and infect you from it. This is some crazy technology they're doing, Austin. What do you think?
Well, it is, and what we're seeing more and more now, too, is what the danger specifically, not just with them injecting you with these viruses, that's already bad enough, but they're supercharging them with the aluminum. I did some research today on it, and I was trying to pull some articles up on this, actually specifically on vaccines. I got a couple articles here today on it, but I did not know this. Aluminum adjuvants have never been approved for human use in vaccines, ever. The CDC recommends that children receive a total of 29 vaccines within their first year, many of those which contain the aluminum adjuvant, the substance used in vaccines to increase the immune response to the antigen, so they claim. Now, according to Professor Christopher Exley, he just did a recent research study, and he said there are two main aluminum adjuvants used in vaccines today, AL hydrogel, which is a semi-crystalline form of aluminum, and adjuphos, an amorphous salt of aluminum. Basically, they're commonly referred to as clinically approved aluminum adjuvants, yet this is far from the truth. There are no aluminum adjuvants that have ever been approved for intramuscular or subcutaneous injection into humans. However, there are no requirements for their approval per the CDC. There are only approved as part of the vaccine preparation. So the CDC has never approved aluminum adjuvants to be used intramuscularly, but what they did was allow them into the loophole to be approved as part of a vaccine preparation in the early stages of vaccine before the vaccine is ever approved for human use. Once it's approved for human use, the idea of it having aluminum, I guess they assume that the aluminum just dissipates into thin air once they add it into the vaccine. This is interesting. I never knew this before. A press release, he stated on here, research at Keele University led by Professor Christopher Exley aimed to understand the toxicity of aluminum adjuvants in vaccines, and their latest findings are now published in Nature Scientific Report. One form of aluminum adjuvant which is most commonly used in vaccine is aluminum hydroxyphosphate salt and is more toxic at the injection site than the second form of aluminum adjuvant used in vaccines, aluminum oxyhydroxide salt. However, the latter is more easily loaded into the immune reactive cells with the possibility to be transported through the body. It is suggested by Keele's research that this loading of aluminum into viable cells offers a mechanism whereby significant amounts of aluminum, a known neurotoxin, are translocated throughout the body and are directly crossed the blood-brain barrier and into the central nervous system. Now, we've talked about this before, guys, but this is flat-out, full-blown clinical research now this guy is coming out with saying, A, aluminum adjuvants have never been approved for human use, and B, they're directly going into the cells and crossing through the blood-brain barrier, which we've said before. If you guys remember, the confidential GlaxoSmithKline back in 2012 document that got released to the press, this hardly got any coverage, but it exposed within a two-year period a total of 36 infants had died directly after receiving the 6-in-1 vaccine, Inforix Hexa. According to their own website, which reported the news, a 127-page document revealed GlaxoSmithKline had received a total of 1,742 reports of adverse reactions between October 23, 2009 and October 22, 2011, including 503 serious adverse reactions and 36 deaths. Now, here's the kicker with this. This stuff's still on the market, and not only does Inforex Hexa contain aluminum hydroxide that I first talked about, it also contains aluminum phosphate, which together are potentially lethal in laboratory animals. Interesting enough, not only did the leaked GlaxoSmithKline document reveal that the 36 infants had died after receiving this vaccination, they also listed each and every one of the adverse reactions in detail. The list was so long, it required a full 25 pages to document, and it goes on in here on all of it. 20 cases of epilepsy, 25 cases of loss of consciousness, 47 cases of apnea, 200 cases of vomiting. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on down the list. This is out of hand, guys. You have to understand what they're doing to your children when they're injecting them with this toxic stuff. Aluminum was never designed to go into the body in this manner. There's aluminum in different types of minerals. There's aluminum in water. It was never designed to be in a free-form aluminum phosphate like this, or an aluminum salt directly injected intramuscularly into the muscle tissue. Our bodies were never designed to accept or handle that level of neurotoxin at one time, and they're using it in the vaccine preparation against the guidelines that they've never even been approved for human usage, guys. So this is another reason why I wanted to bring this up today, to kind of explain in detail the extreme toxicity of what vaccines do to children. And this is one of the main aspects of it, is the aluminum adjuvants that are literally in like two-thirds of the vaccines out of the 76 they're required to get over their 18-year period. And remember what I said, guys, 29 vaccines within the first year of life, and I think around 80% of those have aluminum adjuvants. And we sit back and we go, we don't know why autism's blowing through the roof. We don't know why there's so many cases of sudden infant death syndrome. We don't know why there's so many cases of paralysis and death. Are you kidding me right now? They look at the studies and see these kids had these significant adverse reactions right after they got shot with these vaccines, and everybody wants to stick their head up their butt and go, I have no idea why this happened. It couldn't possibly be the vaccines. The doctors will sit there and deny it till they're blue in the face, saying it was not the vaccine's fault. It did not do anything to the child. I've seen it happen. I've heard it happen. I've read the emails, guys. Over and over and over again, they bold-faced lie to you and say it had nothing to do with it. There's no toxicity. Vaccines are completely safe. If you don't get your child vaccinated, you're a bad parent, and we're calling the Family Department of Services on you because you're not taking care of your child properly. That's how bad it's gone, guys. But I want to really bring that to your attention because that really got me irritated today. I had no idea that aluminum adjuvants were not even approved at all for human use, Dad.
Well, no, aluminum's absolutely horrible because,
yeah,
remember, they're really subjecting us to huge amounts of aluminum into chemtrails and in the soil. Remember, aluminum particulates combine with fluoride, and they greatly increase fluoride toxicity. Now, I'm going to repeat that. So when you inject this child with aluminum, and they get aluminum in their pots and pans and aluminum in all these different areas, aluminum chlorhydrate antiperspirant deodorant, and they're absorbing right through the olfaction into the brain, and you're also giving them fluoride toothpaste, it greatly increases fluoride toxicity, greatly reducing the human body's toxicity threshold level. In other words, aluminum fluoride is much more toxic than just fluoride by itself, even though it's already a deadly poison. So when a municipality basically uses their water and they filter it from ground sources, the aluminum sulfate is added at the factory, at the processing plant for aluminum to clarify the water. They add aluminum sulfate in at the processing plant for the water. It's used to clarify. Then the fluoride is added to the water and combines with the aluminum. A test was done using aluminum fluoride in the 90s, to see what would happen. The lab rats, the problem was 80% of the rats died before the end of the study from the toxicity. There's a synergistic effect, a toxic action, when these elements are combined. This finding was made clear publicly in the Federal Register, December the 4th, 2000, and it says this was a news release. And it says, from the medical journal Brain Research, volume 784, 1998, it said it revealed that aluminum-induced neural degeneration in rats is greatly enhanced when the animals were given low dosages of fluoride. The presence of fluoride enhanced the bioavailability of aluminum, causing more aluminum to cross the blood-brain barrier, hence Alzheimer's and autism, blood-brain barrier, and become deposited in the brain. The aluminum levels in the brains were twice that of the control group. And guess what? Aluminum sulfate is added to almost all of the drinking water. Again, to clarify the water. Now, poor countries do not even have HCO treatment programs. Therefore, they can't even fluoridate the water. So they put it into the doggone salt. So they add the salt along with the aluminum. So guys, this is a major, major issue globally that massively increases aluminum toxicity when you combine it with fluoride. And like Austin says, we weren't getting enough aluminum in our systems. Apparently, people stopped using the antiperspirant deodorants, and they stopped using the aluminum pots and pans, and they stopped using aluminum foil to cook in. They stopped using baking powder and baking soda with aluminum triskelate to cook in. It's not enough. So now they've got to make sure they keep the aluminum levels high enough to combine with the fluoride to create this massive toxicity, and they're giving it to our children in vaccines. And they wonder why, even though most thimerosal has been removed from childhood vaccines, the autism is going through the roof, Austin, because now it's being directly linked back to the aluminum toxicity in these vaccines. So you're absolutely right, Austin. You're absolutely on point on that story. And so, guys, listen to me. I don't know what to say because, gosh, sometimes I feel like I'm a one-horse parade here. I mean, we keep talking about the same stuff and bringing you more and more and more research because I don't know what to say to you to make you engage your friends who are doing vaccinations with their children other than giving them a link to this show that we just did today. At least do that. Say, hey, look, just listen to this show about the vaccines and do your own research because any reasonable person who does their own research concerning aluminum toxicity will find out very quickly that's something you don't want in your body ever in any concentration. So guys, right, you know, the chelation X, that's a product that I love on our website, is specifically designed to bind the heavy metals like aluminum and mercury and pull them back out of your system. And I recommend you take a couple of tablets of that stuff every single night when you go to bed or go to your medical doctor's office and get intravenous chelation done, which is what I do every few months. I've had about 50 treatments of that done now since I was 55 years old. That also helps to pull the heavy metals back out of your system. But guys, we don't need to be exposing ourselves to increasingly larger amounts of heavy metals such as aluminum and mercury on a agreeable volunteer basis. In other words, I'm not going to volunteer to have them inject me with a flu vaccine that I know contains dimerosal or mercury or aluminum or who knows what else. It's just not safe, guys. It's just not safe. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this goes right into it now. Gardasil, which is considered, in my opinion, and a lot of professional opinions now, one of the most dangerous vaccines on the market in history, is now trying to be sold as recommended to infants to prevent HPV, even though infants obviously are not sexually active at all. They're trying to say this needs to be added to the infant shot schedule when we've literally seen tens of thousands of injuries and death from this. HPV is what they say it helps cure or fix or prevent, whatever they want to claim. It's a complete and total lie now we found. But the alleged link is HPV to cervical cancer. However, little evidence of this link has ever even existed, and it's been a huge point of debate when this HPV vaccine first came out. The problem is even more evidence suggests Gardasil actually causes cervical cancer and premature ovarian failure, and has caused a wide variety of injuries and deaths in thousands of women, or little girls, actually. So many have died immediately after receiving the vaccine. Gardasil is responsible for so many issues, yet the mainstream continuing propaganda media continues to say Gardasil is safe and is highly recommended, even though thousands of stories and injuries and deaths say otherwise, guys. So this is what everybody has to start doing. You have to start resisting this giant science globalist government vaccine monster. You have to start saying no. If a large percentage of the population starts refusing to get vaccinated and starts refusing to allow their children to be vaccinated, the media will not be able to continue their propaganda because everybody will start waking up to what's going on. Newsflash for everybody. The vaccines don't prevent anything. I know that's a hard concept to understand, but once you start doing the research, you will realize the effectiveness of vaccines are like 2 to 3% out of a 100% scale as far as what they actually prevent. It's very, very rare for these vaccines to actually truly prevent you from contracting something in the future. It really is. And on top of that, if we were actually getting a true, clean, pure, deactivated virus in a vaccine that was designed to help the immune system fight it and get stronger, that would be questionable and something to look into. However, we don't have that option. Every single vaccine is contained massive amounts of adjuvants, including polysorbate 80, formaldehyde. 70 to 80% of them contain the aluminum adjuvants we just talked about. Guys, this is not stuff that needs to go in our body. This is why I really, really am requesting. I've written letters already. I really hope Donald Trump in January or February spearheads this as one of the main points he wants to get to the bottom to. And the thing about it is, if you want to be, if you know this information and you want to be an idiot and you still want to get vaccinated and you still want to take your children for all their vaccinations, that's your choice. But what they're doing to California and what they're doing in some of these other states and basically forcing these parents to vaccinate their children at the expense of not being able to go to public school with some of these parents who can't afford to homeschool or take them to a private school is egregious to me, guys. This is medical tyranny, and it's medical martial law. We're seeing now with the CDC what they're saying now as far as the quarantine, the ability to hold you indefinitely for quarantine. All these other things are coming into place now very slowly, and unless we start making a stand now to these very important things, it's only going to get worse. That's why I told you guys a couple weeks ago, just getting Trump elected was just the very beginning. We made a huge progress, and stepped all over the globalist feet when we got Trump elected. But now we have to continue to fight even harder and stronger in the resistance to show them that we are not going to sit back quietly and accept ourselves to be poisoned and fed GMOs and fluoridated water and toxic aluminum vaccines and lose every last right that we have just because we're supposed to be good little slaves and they're globalists and they own us. We cannot accept that anymore, guys. Now more than ever, we have to start making a stand because we actually have a president-elect who, in my opinion, will stand for the rights of the people. We'll just have to see what happens in January and how strong he really wants to be about it. And I'm praying to God that he really is sincere about a lot of this stuff, Dad.
Well, you know, I do too, and I hope that he's not already capitulating. I mean, he's already talking about not getting rid of Obamacare and keeping parts of it. I mean, that whole thing just needs to be scrapped.
Yes.
And, you know, he's basically had the talk with Obama now, whoever they talked to or whatever they went to the South Pole for and had a little carry down there on November the 8th. They talked to whoever that person or it is down there. So, I mean, this is just a major mess. This is a major, major mess that we got ourselves into. And again, this goes right back to Genesis chapter 6. You've got to take it back to the spiritual end. Yahweh completely came in, like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, and exposed these people in their entirety. And so, guys, we just have to keep the feet to the fire of the globalists and not allow them to continue to drag us down this ditch. I mean, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. You know, we saw the Indian rupee, you know, losing their top denominations and now being down like $1 and $5 bills as far as in our equivalent money. We see that Australia stopped taking, in the Citibank banks down there, stopped taking currency. We talked about that yesterday. Guys, this is what they're having in store for us, is a one world government with a cashless society with a mark of the beast in order to be able to buy and trade. Guys, this is where it's headed, and we've got to stop them because we've given them unequal and the unfettered ability to just put dots and dashes into accounts. They'll never be held accountable with an M1 or currency in circulation money supply. That's what their fantasy world would be. In other words, they don't ever have to worry about a run on the bank. They just put more dots and dashes in the doggone bank, and everybody's happy with it. By the way, three federal studies show that the Fed stress tests of big banks are just a placebo. This is from Martins. It says, the only thing standing between the American people and another apocalyptic financial collapse among the biggest banks on Wall Street is a Federal Reserve stress test and capital requirements. After Wall Street laid waste to the U.S. housing market and economy from 2008 through 2010, while propping itself back up with a feeding tube from the taxpayers' checkbooks, the Obama, actually wouldn't be the checkbooks, it would be the credit cards. The Obama administration passed the Dodd-Frank financial reform legislation in 2010, which, by the way, is awful. It was, we need the other one, Glass-Steagall back. It wasn't so much legislation as it was an illusory 2,300 pages of rules that might someday get implemented in a meaningful way if President Obama appointed enough cops to his financial regulatory bodies, which he decided not to do. One of the promises of Dodd-Frank was that the Federal Reserve would annually assess whether the biggest and most dangerous banks would have adequate capital, which means cash on reserve, like $100 bills, to withstand a severe recession, and whether the bank has the proper risk management programs in place to prevent it from imploding and becoming a ward of the taxpayer again. Yesterday, the nonpartisan congressional watchdog, the Government Accountability Office, became the third federal entity in the last 2 years to indicate that the Fed is muffing the job of stress testing the big Wall Street banks. Notes include, the Federal Reserve's organizational structure for the stress test does not include a formal process through which model development or risk management at the aggregate or system of models has been implemented. By largely focusing on the modeling principles of the components models and applying those principles to the system models, the Federal Reserve has limited its ability to manage the extent to which risk is introduced into the supervisory stress test. In other words, it's a scam. I'm just reading this stuff. This is a bunch of jargon. What it's saying basically is that there is no test stress. It's a placebo, and these guys are basically ready to collapse again. Guys, it's one of those things you've got to really, really watch yourself on right now. Don't go out and overextend yourself. Don't make large capital purchases right now. Let's get through Trump's election and wait a few more months. If you're going to drive a car, drive that same car for the next 3 or 4 months. I know I'm going to do that. I'm not going to buy a new car before the end of the year. Don't do that. Just drive the car you've got, stay with it, be good with that, and realize we've got to stop and have a wait-and-see attitude of what's going to happen with the economy. What do you think, Austin?
You're absolutely right on that. I've already told multiple people that. If you're going to purchase anything and you have some extra income coming in, I highly suggest you buy silver. I'm not a silver dealer. I'm just telling you what I do personally. Silver was right around $1,690 spot today. It dropped yesterday and today. It's been fluctuating right around there. Very, very good price. But don't be going out and buying any crazy purchases, buying a new house, gutting your whole house remodel, financing a new car for $1,000 a month. Really not a good idea right now, because there's too many things that can happen in the market. Everything's too volatile. Everything's just very, very, very shaky right now. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And not to mention, all we are is one false flag away, or one banking collapse away, or one significant just thing to happen that would completely drop the economy on its head immediately. And you don't want to be in a situation where you got $2,000 or $3,000 a month just in vehicle bills or toy bills and stuff that you don't need right now because you're over leveraged. There's no reason to get involved in that. Another article on health, I'm kind of on a health kick today. And we've talked about PPIs before, the proton pump inhibitors. New study now is confirming that PPIs actually massively increase your risk of stroke. PPIs are among the most common prescribed medications in the United States. They're for heartburn, if you guys didn't know that. Proton pump inhibitors. New data is suggesting that these medications may help slightly in the short term, but have significant problems in the long run. The study followed 244,000 Danish adults. In order to be studied, they had to have never had a stroke. The researchers followed them for the next 6 years to see how their health fared. When the researchers followed up on the initial group, they found that 9,500 of the participants had a stroke within 6 years of the study. It was found that those who took the heartburn medication had a 21% increased risk of developing a stroke. And it was also found that the dose of the medication seemed to make a world of difference for the study. For example, those who took PPIs infrequently or at a very, very low dose did not see a massive increased risk of stroke. However, those who took them regularly or even a elevated dose saw a much higher risk. Those who took Prilosec, which is a very popular one, had a 33% increased risk in stroke. Those taking the highest dose of Nexium faced 50% increased risk of having a stroke, and those taking Protonix, the Protonix one, yes, full dose of Protonix, faced a 79 to 80% increase in the risk of developing a stroke. Guys, there's absolutely no reason to be taking these unless you absolutely have to for a very short period of time, like this article said. There's too many things you can do, like the aloe vera juice we sell, the digestive enzymes that we sell. There's all types of things you can do to get your digestive tract back in line to digest properly and close up so you don't have heartburn. But taking these PPIs regularly or long term is not something that's going to be beneficial to your health. Believe me, I know they are not something you want to take unless, like I said, it's for an extreme emergency for a week or two, and that is it, in my opinion.
Well, what's also interesting, folks need to understand, is you have to ask yourself, what's the mechanism causing the strokes? Now, yep. I haven't analyzed that, and I haven't gone in and done the research on this, but there are a few things that I know increases the risk of stroke, and I'll cover this right now. One, you could have an increased risk or higher blood pressure from these types of drugs. You also yep. have elevated heart rates, which we saw when Austin had to go on that PPI last summer because of his thing with the pericarditis. He had a massively elevated heart rate. And I remember we asked the doctor about that, and they said, oh, no, it doesn't do that. And I pulled the journal up, and I said, it says it does it right here. Why do you not know that? Well, they don't know because of all the interactions of all the drugs. Plus, remember, whenever you take a proton pump inhibitor, you're massively reducing the amount of nutrients that your body is able to digest. Now, stay with me for a second on this. So when you can't digest your food properly, you're not going to get the vitamin A, D, E, C, K, everything, and minerals. You're not going to get those. You're not going to get your magnesium. You're not going to get any of these things because a lot of these minerals are very heavy to absorb for the body anyhow, and it's difficult, especially if you don't have sufficient quantities of hydrochloric acid. This is one of the biggest problems with stress. When you get under a lot of stress, your body stops producing stomach acid, and when that happens, your body can't digest the foods properly. That's why you get like a knot in your stomach, and if you stay under a constant state of stress, your body goes into a mineral vitamin depletion. It goes into the point where it's living on what's called reserve energy. It only uses the energy the body has in stores for the different minerals and the different functions that have to be done in the body. Because remember, magnesium is used in over 300 biochemical reactions on an ongoing basis. If it's not there, those reactions can't take place properly and your body gets sick. Plus, there's one other thing. Copper is absolutely critical as an essential nutrient. Copper helps to maintain elasticity of blood vessels. Copper is one of those nutrients that your body has to have so you don't rupture a blood vessel and have a stroke. It's one of the reasons that people have so many ruptured aortic aneurysms in the United States is for deficiencies of copper. And remember, copper and aluminum are antagonistic, so if you're getting all this aluminum in your diet on top of everything else, you're not getting enough copper absorption. So remember this, guys, you only have so many receptor sites. That's why the Health Master's multiple vitamin has adequate amounts of copper to maintain blood vessel elasticity. So very important, because too much copper can cause toxicity. So that's why it's really important that when you get a multiple vitamin, you get a really good one. But guys, listen, Austin's absolutely right. The proton pump inhibitors, if you're using them because you've got an ulcer, you've got something wrong with your esophagus or whatever, you got some esophageal erosion, and you're only going to use them for a few days or a few weeks, and you get back off of them after you're healed, that's one thing. But I know people that have been on these types of drugs for years, if not decades. And guys, it's not healthy from a nutritional standpoint. The digestive enzymes work a lot better in most cases because it allows you to digest your food properly. Here's what happens for those of you who haven't listened to the show before. When you chew your food, you put in salivary amylase in your food. It makes it more of a, it helps to digest starches like sugars. You swallow that food, it hits your stomach, and there's a bunch of acid in your stomach, supposedly, unless you're taking a proton pump inhibitor. Now, when that acid concentration gets high enough after you've eaten to digest your food properly, you have what's called an esophageal sphincter. That's at the top of the stomach, at the bottom of the esophagus, and that closes off and seals so you don't get acid reflux coming back up in your throat. Then your body starts producing the acid, produces high enough quantities of acid, digests the foods properly, and then it's then transferred into the small intestine. It goes by, it gets bile dumped in it to neutralize the acidity, then your body can absorb it through the small and large intestines. Now, guys, that's the basics of 101 of digestive health. The problem is when you start taking proton pump inhibitors to decrease the amount of the acid you have in your stomach, in the vast majority of the cases of heartburn, it's not that you have too much acid, it's that you don't have enough acid to close off the esophageal sphincter. So you take these proton pump inhibitors to even further decrease the amount of acidity in your stomach, to either further decrease the amount of digestion that your body's going to be able to do, and either further decrease the amount of nutrients your body's going to be able to be absorbed. So that increases your risk massively now of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. This is one of the reasons that when you're under stress or you have bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart, there's so many people like that. They live in their lives angry all the time. They're bitter, bitter, bitter people. They get mad about something that happened to them when they were 14 years old, and they have a chip on their shoulder the rest of their life. And every time you try to talk to them, they bow up like they want to get into a fight. And they're mad, mad, mad people. All the time they're just angry. I've got a neighbor like that. Guys, listen to me for a second. That's not okay. And the cost to your own health is just staggering what it does to you. Because all of these different diseases come apart, primarily come on you because of a lack of specific nutrients. And if you're stopping the nutrient flow in your intestinal tract, your body again is going to live on the reserve energy. That's the tissue, that's your, what's in the liver, what's in the lungs, all the mineral reserves. And your body will start leaching different nutrients out of your body in order to do the biochemical reactions that have to take place for proper cell and mitochondrial function. And that's when you start getting sick. Remember, the first day that you take in less energy than your body needs is your first day of illness. I'm going to repeat that. The first day that you take in less energy than your body needs is your first day of illness, because your body starts tapping into its reserves. That's why it's so important that you guys listen to me for just a second. You've got to eat clean. You've got to stay away from GMOs. You've got to take supplements. You've got to drink distilled water. You've got to do all of the things that we talk about on an ongoing basis on this show, not because we're trying to say, hey, you know, you got to do what the law says or you got to do this. No. Don't follow the law of the Bible as far as not eating pork and shellfish because you're trying to avoid hell. Jesus took care of that for us. Follow the law of the Bible when it says don't eat pork, don't eat shellfish, don't do these things, because God wants you to live long and prosper in the land He's given us. Don't be in a situation where you are going to do it, but you don't want to do it, because the Bible says when you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land. Guys, don't eat clean because you're being forced to eat clean, because it'll never last. Don't go on a diet because you're forced to go on a diet. Eat healthy, eat clean, because that's how you want to live. Don't be on a diet. I'm not on a diet. I'm not. We eat really good food all the time. I don't really count my calories. Now, if I start gaining a few pounds here and there, I'll cut back on certain types of foods, not necessarily caloric intake, till my system puts the weight back down where it's supposed to be. Because, guys, you can gain weight on healthy food. That's why supplementation is so critically important. Now, I told you guys, I started taking a protein shake in the morning. Austin has that whole recipe at the office. I had acid reflux. I had to take digestive enzymes with every meal. I started using that protein shake every single day, and my acid reflux completely went away without digestive enzymes in about a month. Now, that's pretty much of a miracle for me, because I've been on those digestive enzymes for years and years, because it feels like you got really bad acid reflux, really bad heartburn. And when you have a condition like pericarditis, when I was younger, and you feel your heart, and all of a sudden you start getting chest pains because of the acid indigestion, you start thinking, oh my gosh, I hope my heart's okay. I hope my heart's okay. God, it doesn't have to be that way. Eat the right foods, take the right supplements, and gosh, you can have so much energy, you don't know what to do with it. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. There's so many different options as far as with healthy nutrition. And like you said, one of the most important aspects that people have to realize is you can't go on a diet all the time. Now, let me take that back. If you are getting ready for a photo shoot or you're in competitive bodybuilding, I understand that as far as contest prep. That's pretty much the only time I've ever gone on a diet per se. And that's just because it's very, very strict, trying to get down to 0% body fat. However, on a daily basis now, currently, I don't compete or do any of that anymore, eating healthy as a daily function is just what I do. I don't eat on a diet. I don't weigh anything. I don't measure anything anymore. I just eat really clean all the time. And it's not that I'm trying to stay strict on it. It's just become my lifestyle now. And a lot of people go, well, how do you eat this? How do you eat so clean with this? And how do you maintain, and stay so lean all the time? It's the diet. I don't stay on a diet as the word diet. It's my diet, though, as far as my food intake. It's my daily activities and my current food intake, and it stays pretty consistent, and it stays pretty clean. I mean, one of the most regular meals I eat is usually yams, with green beans and organic chicken. That is one of the cleanest, simplest, most basic, easiest meals to make. And I've eaten that for years on and off, different times throughout the time, depending on how many times I eat it here and there. But the yams you can cook in the oven, a whole bunch of them at one time. The chicken you can cook on the stove, a whole bunch of it at one time. And the green beans you can cook a whole bunch of it at one time. You can put it, you got three different giant Tupperwares you can put it in the fridge when you're ready to eat, take a scoop of chicken, take a scoop of green beans, take a scoop of yams, and boom, you got yourself a good meal. You can heat up in a stainless steel pan on the stove, which is what I do every time. It's super easy. It tastes good. It gives your body good, clean calories. You got good, low-glycemic carbohydrates in the yams. You got your fiber in the green beans, and you got your protein in the chicken. It's that simple, guys, and there's 50 other combinations you can make just like that. That's just what my personal preference is that I like a lot. But everybody tries to make it too complicated and tries to eat, oh, you got to eat this meal this time and this meal that time and this meal that time. If you are trying to get down to single-digit body fat and you're competing, I got that. I understand it and I appreciate it. 99% of the population and 99% of our listeners aren't involved in that, so there's no reason to go that strict. All it does is put more stress on your body because you're constantly obsessed with trying to focus on every single meal. You have to make it part of your lifestyle is eating clean. Instead of going to McDonald's or Taco Bell, go to Publix and buy some organic chicken breast and some organic green beans and some organic sweet potatoes and go home and make two or three or four meals worth of food at one time that you can eat over the next couple days at lunch instead of wasting your money away on $3, $4, $5 lunches at McDonald's every day. I tell people that all the time. Everybody goes, man, it's so expensive to eat like this. It's really not. It's not cheap, but it's not that expensive. Compared to what? Compared to your health? Compared to eating McDonald's? What are you comparing expensive to? You're right. If you're saying you want to eat off the dollar menu at Taco Bell every day and that's all you eat, compared to eating fresh organic food, yeah, it probably is a little bit expensive. But do you know how many times you're going to end up going to the hospital in your lifetime if you live off that dog slop? Do you know how many times you have to constantly be taking off work and in bed sick because of that just literally just garbage you're putting in your body on a regular basis? So just use your head, guys. Think about it. If you have to, sit down and budget it. Go, what do I need to buy this week for food? Look at my normal budget. Look at what else I can buy as far as natural food, clean food, organic food, and start scrubbing other stuff off the list. You don't need Pringles. You don't need soda. You don't need cheese puffs. You don't need ice cream. All that stuff can get scrubbed off immediately. I promise you, your body will do just fine without putting that in your system. If I'm wrong, you can call me up and yell at me, and I promise you I won't have that happen. I've never had that happen because of what happens when you start eating better. You feel better. Your mental acuity goes up. Your energy goes up. Every single aspect of your life gets better when you eat cleaner. I promise you it's that simple, Dad. And most people don't believe me, and then they do it.
It's funny because I'm laughing because it really is that simple. I mean, there's all kinds of fancy recipes for your chicken and vegetables, but I cannot tell you how many people, broiled or baked chicken, even in a rotisserie is fine. That's really, it tastes wonderful. Sharon's got a rotisserie chicken that's amazing. Yep. And basically you can make it chicken, or you can use fish. Fish is fine too. Or you can use beef in moderation, but not all the time. So you can have a whole variety of different things. Don't do pork. Don't do shellfish. Those aren't good. And just have like a handful of meat, a handful of vegetables, you know, and like a salad. And you can have all the variety you want if you want to do it that way. And it's absolutely great. Broiled or baked, everything. You can even pan fry it like an olive oil, which is great too. Or you can even use coconut oil if you like the way it tastes with certain foods. That's good. And you can use, there's all kinds of different things you can do. It doesn't have to be complicated. Now, the one thing that I do want you to do though, is do a big variety. If you're going to do yams one day, do broccoli the next day, do carrots the next day, do beans the next day, or do mixed vegetables, because here's why. The different colors of the different vegetables that you eat, the reason they're different colors, like some are yellow, some are blue, some are red, some are green, is because of the mineral content. if you don't get a broad variety of vegetables and a broad variety of different nutrients in your diet, you start having mineral depletions because your body's not getting those specific minerals in the food that you eat. Now, that becomes increasingly more difficult when you don't eat organic because the food basically has been processed so badly. So if you just eat chicken and vegetables with a wide variety of different vegetables and a wide variety of different ways of preparing chicken and keep your calorie intake at about 300 to 400 calories per meal, 5 to 6 times a day, if you want to weigh 180 to 200 pounds, if you're a guy, or if you're a girl, stay with about 200 calories 6 times a day. That'll give you about a 1,200 calorie intake, which will give you about a 110, 120 pound body weight. If you want to do that, just learn to eat that way on a regular basis. Just get the variety going a little bit differently. And you'll be amazed how the weight will literally fall off you, especially if you don't eat for a couple hours, 3 or 4 hours before you go to bed, and take the HGH stimulate right before you go to bed at night on an empty stomach. You will be amazed what that'll do. That'll burn body fat and cellulite faster than anything I've ever seen it happen. It also, if you're a guy, runs your libido through the roof because of what it does as far as from a nitric oxide standpoint. So that's one of the best things. It's called HGH stimulate. It's like our number one selling product as far as repeat purchase because of what it does. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal product. I love that stuff. I take it every single day, and it makes you a lot stronger when you work out. When you stack that with the amino acid blend we just put together, it is incredible how strong you get in the gym and how much your libido goes up. Now you think, well, I don't care about having a higher libido. That's okay too, but remember, a healthy body has a high libido. Remember that. Always remember that, guys. When the testosterone is in balance, when the nutrients are balanced, when the vitamin E is in balance, when the zinc is in balance, the libido goes up in a healthy body. That's why it's very important to make sure that you eat healthy on a regular basis and you try to maintain your bodily functions as long as you possibly can. Same thing with prostate health. I'm 61 years old now, so I take our prostate support formula every night, 3 of them before I go to bed, with 3 turmeric. Now, why do I do that? The turmeric is an anti-inflammatory compound. It helps to reduce inflammation in the body. An inflamed prostate, benign prostate hypertrophy, interferes with your ability to use the bathroom properly. And if you go in and have prostate surgery, it's going to interfere with in most cases with your ability to have sex with your wife. All of these things can be avoided if you just take care of your body. The zinc is so important for prostate health. The E, all of these things are so critical for the body to stay healthy. But guys, I want to thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed our little nutrition show today. This kind of turned into a pretty good little lecture here on nutrition. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. I just want you to know that I'm honored that you guys listen to the show. I'm honored that you send us so many emails. Thank you. It means so much to me, and that you guys are supporting us by getting your multiple vitamins from us and your other products from us. I want you to know that I love you guys, and I just want to just thank you again for being here for us. And a lot of times we kind of like just keeping the shows kind of positive like we did today. So, guys, I appreciate you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless you. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. We talked about before the chelation therapy. It's on sale as product of the week on our website at healthmasters.com. So if you guys need anything, give us a call, email us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.